Welcome to Bible Chapter Every Day. I'm Matthew. Our chapter today is Habakkuk 2. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, please help us to live our lives in faith in you, that we would be silent and wait for you to judge, that we would be not trying to get ahead by our own strength. We want to be the people that you declare righteous. We pray this through Jesus. Amen. Habakkuk 2. I will stand at my post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then Yahweh answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain on the tablet, so that it might be read quickly. For there is yet a vision for the appointed time. It will give witness to the end, and it will not lie. If it tarries, wait for it will surely come and not delay. Look, his spirit within him is puffed up. It is not upright, but the righteous shall live by his faithfulness. How much less the defiant, the arrogant, treacherous man, he who broadens his throat like Sheol, and who, like death, is not satisfied, and who gathers to himself all the nations, and harvested for himself all the peoples, will not succeed. Shall not all of these take up a taunt against him, with ridicule and riddles against him, saying, Woe to him who heaps up what is not his, for how long? And woe to him who makes himself heavy with pledges. Will not your creditors suddenly rise up and awaken those who make you tremble? Then you shall be as plunder for them. Because you plundered many nations, all the remaining nations will plunder you on account of the blood of humanity and violence against the land, and against cities and all who live in them. Woe to him who obtains profit from evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high, to be saved from the hand of misfortune. You have plotted shame for your house, cutting off many peoples, and sinning against your life. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the plaster from the wood will answer it. Woe to him who builds a city by blood guilt, and who founds a city by wickedness. Look, is it not from Yahweh of hosts that people labor for mere fire, and nations exhaust themselves for mere vanity? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh, like the waters covering the sea. Woe to him who gives a drink to his neighbors, pouring out your wrath and also making them drunk in order to see their nakedness. You will be sated with shame rather than glory. Drink also yourself and expose yourself. The cup of the right hand of Yahweh will come around upon you, and disgrace upon your glory. For the violence of Lebanon will cover you, and the destruction of wild animals will shatter them on account of the blood of humanity and the violence against the land, against a city and all the inhabitants in it. What value is an idol when its carver has fashioned it, a molten idol, a teacher of lies? For he who fashioned his creation trusts in it, though making mute idols. Woe to him who says to the wood, Wake up, and to the lifeless stone, Arise! Can he teach? Look, it is covered with gold and silver, and there is no breath within it. But Yahweh is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Well, that's the reading. Let's dig in. In the first chapter, Habakkuk asked God, How long? How long will he allow wickedness in Israel to continue? And God's answer shocks Habakkuk even more. God is going to use the Chaldeans to punish Israel. The Chaldeans were much worse than Israel. They were strong and cruel and powerful, and they worshiped their own power. So Habakkuk asks about that. He says, God can't look on evil, so how could God use Babylon? Babylon is destined for God's wrath. So now, in this chapter, we get God's answer. He doesn't actually say Babylon or Chaldea in this chapter. And so, we can apply it to Chaldea, but maybe more than just Chaldea. God starts by saying, write this down. It will happen for sure, just wait. This proud one is not right. But then in verse 4, but the righteous shall live by his faithfulness. Then Yahweh continues talking about this wicked man. He's proud, he's never satisfied, but he keeps gaining more power over more people, and he builds up heaps of things that he has taken from other people. It says in verse 6, he makes himself heavy with pledges. Most commentators take that to mean that he loans money at interest and then takes the items that people used as collateral. But the next verse says, will not your creditors suddenly rise up? So another possibility is that this wicked one is borrowing a bunch of money to finance his expansion of power, and it's all going to come tumbling down. This nation has been taking from many other nations, and so in the future, that will get turned around and they will be taken from. Yahweh says they are actually working against themselves as they oppress other people, because it will come back on them. He says the word "woe" 5 times in this chapter, which is saying it will be bad for them. And the reasons why are because they are taking things from other nations. They kill people, and they entrap people. That is described as giving them drink to expose their nakedness. And he mentions the violence of Lebanon and destruction of animals. So this is taking of things not just from people, but also from nature as well. Lebanon was known for its great trees, which of course was full of wildlife. Then the final woe is on idol worship. Worshipping something that cannot actually do anything. It's just wood, stone, gold, and silver. And then the chapter ends telling where the real power is in verse 20. But Yahweh is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. And now for a deeper dive. In the context of this book, this is clearly talking about Babylon, the world power that was taking over nations for their own pleasure. But it's a picture that has been repeated. In the New Testament, it was Rome that was ruling the world and gathering the wealth and power. And today, at the moment, it's the United States. There are different types of power. There is straight force, military might, and then there are other ways called soft power that the United States has also used effectively for many years. One of those ways is to entrap nations in debt for big projects so that they're forced to give up the resources that we want. And another way this is done is financial. The US dollar is considered the most reliable and stable currency, so people want to invest in dollars, which means the United States can borrow money very easily. The U.S. is not the first great power to borrow itself to death. Now, there isn't a lot that you and I can do in these big-picture world power areas. We can't set things right. But this chapter also gives us one thing that we can do. Verse 4, but the righteous shall live by his faithfulness. That should sound familiar. It's quoted several times in the New Testament. But you might remember it as Paul quoted it in Romans 1:17. For the righteousness of God is revealed in it from faith to faith, just as it is written, but the one who is righteous by faith will live. Or in Galatians 3:11. Now, it is clear that no one is justified in the sight of God by the law, because the one who is righteous will live by faith. And in those places, Paul is pointing out that we are not righteous by getting everything right, by doing everything right, but by faith. We're saved by faith. And faith is belief, right? So we're saved by mental activity rather than what we do, right? But then, in Habakkuk, it says faithfulness. And clearly in the context, what those Chaldeans do is wrong, which is connected to their worship of their own power and false gods. So, did Paul quote this wrong? The answer, I think, is that the word faith and the word faithful are the same. Wait, so a mental activity and an action are the same? Well, when the Bible talks about faith, it does include action. Faith is a way of thinking that will necessarily result in action. Now, sometimes that action is a very quiet action. And it involves what we don't do as much as what we do. The last verse in this chapter is something that we should do that is very quiet. But Yahweh is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Instead of going out and trying to get all that we can for ourselves, we wait quietly for God. Instead of thinking that we have to settle these unfair things in life, we wait for God to judge. And of course, we will not engage personally in this taking of things from others by whatever means. We will not want to profit from harming others, including harming God's creation. Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible. Copyright 2012, Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software.